Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The issue that is on the table today, it just grows out of the conversation that I think the speech by Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, at the Essence Festival is going to generate. She's trying to, and I think on the one hand, when she was in Miami, clearly she pulled a move that gave her, it kind of propelled her and put her out in front of some of the other candidates. Now, I will say, I got to say this, y'all. You know, I have some concerns about Senator Harris, you know, and we can talk, you know, maybe what if you ask me what some of my concerns are, I can tell you what they are. But I'm unsure about who I'm going to support at this point. But one of the comments she made, some of the comments she made when she's in Miami, clearly, I think, made her one of the front. Yeah, put her ahead of the crowd. How about I just put it like that? And she definitely had her moment in the sun where she took on Biden and raised some issues about his history when it comes to civil rights and racial kind of ethics and that kind of thing. And I think for right now, let me just put a pin in that right there, because we might return to what I think about her comments in Miami a little bit later in the show. But let's fast forward the tape. The Essence Festival in New Orleans, as you all know, that is a huge and a very, I think, well-attended festival. A lot of our sisters are there. Brothers go also. And you get a chance to hear and participate in some things that are really, really good for the African-American community. Hence, it comes as no surprise that Senator Harris was there and that she got an opportunity to address the group. And, you know, I saw the speakers. Bennett wasn't in New Orleans, as y'all know. Bennett was not in New Orleans. I was here in Atlanta. And I got a chance to look at her speech, and I noticed some very interesting kinds of things. I got to tell you, I thought it was absolutely fascinating that she comes on the stage, you know, with Tupac and Dre, you know, blasting in the background. You know, she's coming on with Pac and Dre. So I'm wondering, is she making a statement there about who she's trying to connect with? She getting down with California Love, you know, and you know, I guess she's already trying to show that she got some street cred, you know, by playing Pac and Dre. And we can talk about the street cred thing. We can talk about that a little bit later. Well, as the speech develops, she lays out some things that she wants to address. And what's interesting is Senator Harris does talk about her background. And when I say her background, she takes a very interesting slice of the pie. And she talks about being, you know, about her mother being Indian, and she talks about her in some kind of way being connected with this civil rights kind of movement. She makes those kinds of claims, and she goes on and kind of lays out, you know, the thing that drives her, that propels her to enter the presidential race. And she says it like this. She basically talks about her mother, and she makes this claim. She says, you know, her mother wasn't very tall in terms of stature. Says her mother was roughly around 5 feet. She says, but her mother was a very tall woman. And she says, though, that often when she, Kamala and her sister, would have issues or would have concerns, they would talk with their mother, and their mother was very adamant about their not complaining about things. Rather than complain, she said that her mother instilled this ethic of do something about it-ness in her sister. And then she says, well, you know what? That's the reason that I will be running for president of the United States, because she's just not going to complain about what's going on. Rather, she wants to engage the issue and make some strides towards doing something about the situation here in America. Well, that's kind of how she kind of shapes the narrative by her commitment to, you know, wanting to improve things in the community. So then she goes on and she starts identifying some of the items that she likes to talk about. And what was quite fascinating is she said, how did she say it? That often people say to her, well, Senator Harris, why don't you talk about, I think she says black issues that are important to black folk. And she starts talking about, well, I'm glad you want to talk about the economy. I'm glad you want to talk about health care. I'm glad you want to talk about equal pay for equal work. And I think the other thing she talked about was racial inequality, something very similar to that. And so she begins to unpack those particular items and her policies that she wants to have with some of her programs that she wants to have with respect to those particular issues. And and things kind of go from there. Now, I tell you, just listening to those issues, I'm thinking about to whom really is she speaking. And when I say that, I think about black women and I think about issues that might be of importance to black women. I think about black men, issues that might be important to black men. And I know for Bennett, the issues that are very important to me, I didn't really hear her talk a whole lot about. I mean, you know, and I have some ideas in my mind as to why she didn't. You know, I mean, personally, I would be interested in criminal justice reform. That's one thing I would be very much so interested in. I didn't hear her say a whole lot about raising the minimum wage. You know, maybe that's there someplace. But I'd love to hear her talk about, you know, raising the minimum wage. Clearly, she mentions this a little bit later in her talk. I'm very much so in supporting HBCUs and funding HBCUs and even questions about, you know, student debt. I would be very interested in issues about student debt, taking care of funding HBCUs and not just providing monies for scholarships, but trying to find ways to improve the infrastructure at some of our schools, buildings and other types of things. Very much so. Criminal justice reform, the minimum wage, you know, issues about voter suppression. Those would be the kind, police brutality. You know, those are the kinds of things that would interest me. And I'm thinking that would interest also some of our sisters. Now, as I listen to Senator Harris's conversation, maybe she's going to pick another time to actually address some of those in particular. But I did not hear her talking about those items. Well, that's making me wonder just what will the affect of her speech be? You know, clearly she was there. Clearly you had a huge block of AKAs there. You know, she's AKA. All I heard was ski-wee, ski-wee, ski-wee. Can I say that? Hey, bro, that right, bro. Y'all know. Hey, man, y'all know what happened, bro. If the AKAs come for me, y'all know what to do. Y'all know how to manage the situation. Y'all can manage it. Y'all can neutralize it. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But ski-wees are all over the place. Folk talking about Howard University, all over the place. It was the atmosphere was electric. Come out on the stage with Pac and Dre, you know, and she's trying to connect. And I'm wondering, though, did she really connect? That's what I want to talk about, and I want to get your thoughts about it. In the meantime, you can actually go to the gist of the matter, and you can see the speech, that you can see it, and you can hear it. Listen to it, and give me a call. 404-892-2703 is the number. All right? Looking forward to having this conversation with you. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
I'm going to go to the lines. I guess I shall go to David. He's been holding. I got a couple other callers. David, hello, David.
Hello, Dr. Ben. How you doing today?
Man, I'm 250%. How you doing?
All right. Good to hear you. And I'm definitely glad I can call in and talk with you a little bit today.
What's happening, man?
Yes. Well, I wanted to say, at first, I didn't know or felt like I didn't know Kamala Harris. I feel like going in that Biden should be the one. That's what I just feel like we should lock in on, but now I'm not so sure, even though I still not totally left him. But I almost feel like for sure Kamala Harris should be a part of the ticket. And I like her, to be honest with you. I may even switch my vote.
Tell me why.
I'm glad you asked me that, because it wasn't the busing comment. That showed me that she can lock in on you and almost prosecute you. So I like that about her.
Well, what do you think? What do you think of that busing comment? Because I will tell you this. When I heard the comment, and I'm just going to speak honestly with you, my friend. I'll be very transparent. When I heard the busing comment, I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know if she was angry because she was bussed, or she was glad that she was bussed. I simply don't know what to make of that. I really, y'all could help me with that. I just didn't get it for a few minutes.
My opinion on that, I thought she was glad to be bussed. Now, the way she said it, I feel like she thought bussing was a great opportunity for her, and she was glad for it. Now, that's what I feel like she was saying. Because I was bussed particularly, I now know that I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way they treated me at the school. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was treated harshly. Mm-hmm. I know I was treated harshly to the point I know because my parent had to come and take me out to school.
Right.
And that's when I went back in my own neighborhood and I was a much happier person and felt like my teachers liked me and cared about me because I felt like when I was bussed, the teachers were the boosters. I know that for sure.
Well, I would tell you this. Where I was from in North Carolina, when they were, I guess, integrating the schools, what they did with a lot of our schools, they tore down our schools and they sent us to the white schools.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they did. I mean, I can remember when they tore down our elementary school and they put us in the white school. And I personally didn't like that, because I was like, here I'm in the third grade and I'm so used to, people I've been going to school with and, whatnot.
Wow.
And so and then to be inserted into this school that was, for the most part, white. It took some adjusting. I'll just be honest with you. It really did.
It's that same grade. I was in third grade. So that's that same grade I was in.
Yeah.
And what I was about to say. Oh, yeah. So by them tearing down your school, that means that they didn't want to build up our community schools. They just rather tear it down and keep the money there. So that wasn't good. But this is what made me like her. I don't know if it was part of the speech, but I was reading where she said that she wanted to put $100 billion aside for grants to help out with black home ownership to deal with the wealth gap. Now I really like that.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. Unpack that for me, or did she say she wanted to set aside? And you were right; she did mention that number. But did she say it was to buy homes in areas that had been redlined?
Yes, that's exactly what she said.
So my question is,
and to help businesses in those areas.
That's exactly what she said. My question
that's
what I want to. Well, it is, but my question is, what happens when white folk try to buy homes in areas that have been traditionally redlined?
When I see, that's the part that made me listen to her because by her being a lawyer and a prosecutor.
Right.
Then, and she said the racial gap. Mm-hmm. Now, I was interested in how could she do it, but I'm quite sure she already studied it. Matter of fact, she said it because that would be dealing with the racialness or the racial injustice when it comes to economics that the white people didn't have to deal with.
Right.
So some kind of way you apply for this grant, so maybe that grant will show you in a hardship that I don't think the regular white people will be able to do because they wouldn't have the same hardship of redlining, not unless some kind of way they can see it because they live near black people. So that's the part. That's the first time I thought someone could articulate something that would be directly for people like black people that were economically deprived of opportunities. And with her being a prosecutor, I'm quite sure she would.
See, but you know what? Brother, I love you. I love you, boy. I got to tell you this. This is where you keep messing with me, man. You keep mentioning she's a prosecutor. And because she's a prosecutor, I'm already wondering just how down is she with black folk. I'm just being honest with you, man. It's making me wonder about. Yes. To whom is she really speaking? Is she really speaking to you know, she's there at the Essence Festival, and definitely there's a huge demographic there. I don't know the actual numbers, but I bet that there's a huge group of African American women there. And
yes.
I'm really wondering, is her speech more so for African American women or just for women? Because notice what she's going to do. I'm wondering, is she trying to get after trying to touch base with some of them white women? That's really where I'm going with this. Because she starts talking about schools and whatnot. And most of the women who are teaching school are not black.
I agree. And if I had the time, I agree with you on what you were saying with that.
Do me a favor, David.
Okay.
I got a couple of callers. I'm going to give you some time. I just got to hold you over right now because I'm up against a hard break. Don't hang up. Please don't hang up. I'm going to hold you over, okay? All right.
Thank you.
Listen, I got to go to a hard break. David, stay right there. I got some other callers. I'm going to get to you right on the other side of this break. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
We got a lot going on, David, and now we're talking about Kamala Harris. And I'm going to put David back on the air because David just kind of got me to go in and got my boxers in the ward. Go ahead, David.
Okay, Dr. Bennett. Yes, and with her being a positive recruit, I think she's going to always be very tactful and very careful about what she says,
mm-hmm.
to the point that if she says something, I think you can almost trust and believe she figured out how to get it done, or she's going to go all the way to try to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she'll just be talking.
Uh-huh.
She's also tactful, like you said, with the women, because she's talking about helping out with the student loans. Of course, we have more women going to school, so of course they would deserve that help, and they will also benefit from that other land grant, the cash that will support getting the home ownership or buying some land, and then that way now it will help close that gap. I don't think white men will be too scared of her because she's married to a white man.
Well, now, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm hearing her talk, and I mm-hmm. just don't know if she's really doing what's necessary to help solve many of the issues that she lists. I mean, think about it. In her speech, and if you go to the website, you'll see the Facebook page, so if you'll see that it's there. She talks about this black census report. Now, I'm going to actually read that and kind of look and see who collected it, look and see what's said and whatnot. But what she does when she cites it, one of the things she says, she talks about half of black families just didn't have enough money at the end of the month or something to pay their monthly bills. And then she said that a third of black families basically had to cut back on groceries or something because they couldn't buy their food. And so she said some other things, but her solution proposes this kind of tax kind of incentive or something for families that make under $100,000 a year. I think she said they get like up to like, what, $500 a month credit or something like that.
Right,
now, I'm wondering, is that really going to solve that problem? I mean, if half of black families say they don't have enough money each month to pay their bills, the question is why? I mean, what's the issue there? You know, like I said earlier, I'm thinking maybe we need to raise minimum wage. Maybe there's some other things we can do to do that.
You're quite right on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep, right. That's the last point I forgot that you did say that I wanted to mention. I totally agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they have to talk about the education system even before you get to college, because I just don't understand how somebody let that get messed up.
Yeah.
It has to be straightened out. But thanks so much for the time, Dr.
Man,
Bennett.
Thank you.
And I'll
thank you.
To listen.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Boy, David had a great call.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.